Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you again to Psalm 27 and the 13th verse. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe each one of the Lord's dear children will be taught their weakness. And the more we are taught our weakness, like David was, the more we shall need the Lord, and the more we shall need living faith to truly believe in Him. You will notice in that beautiful hymn that we've just sung, what dear Mr. Isaac Watts said, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. And dear Mr. Berridge in the following hymn spoke of it too. He knows how weak and faint thou art, and must appear at length. A look from him will cheer thy heart and bring renewed strength. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now we looked at some length this morning at the many things that cause the child of God to faint, and how we need that faith to believe in the Lord that He would appear and that He would work and that He will make bare His arm. I want us help this afternoon to look a little at the latter part of the text. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For us to see the goodness of the Lord, and for dear David to see it here, he must have, and so must we, the eye of faith to view and to see the wonders and goodness of our God. And that to those of you that may have many things to make you faint this afternoon, may we have our eyes directed away from all the things that cause us to faint, to view the goodness of the Lord. His goodness. It's a beautiful subject, that is, the goodness of God. And I believe that when we are favoured to view it, it will just melt our hearts and we'll be truly softened. And we'll have to say, Lord, why me? Why should I be favoured to see that blessed goodness that thou dost give to sinners? Dear David, in concluding that beautiful Psalm 23, he speaks of the Lord's goodness. He says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at this goodness that David was favoured with here to see. The goodness of the Lord first in providence. It's a wonderful thing to see the Lord's hand in the good things of providence. And it's not just the things the Lord provides for his dear people, it's who gives them. This is what has been very sweet to me over the years. The hand of the Lord dispenses them. Oh, he does. And you think of the children of Israel as they journey through the wilderness, when each day they saw the manna fall from heaven, and who gave it? A good God. And it was his goodness to them that supplied their every need. Oh, it was. You look how good the Lord was to dear Elijah at the brook Cherith when he sent the ravens to feed him. He saw the goodness of his God, didn't he? Provide him water at the brook in a time of severe famine, and then look at the goodness of the Lord in sending those ravens to feed him with that bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He was melted by the goodness of God. But then we think too of those of you maybe fainting this afternoon. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, to see it personally. You see others favoured to see it and to experience it, and what your desire is that you might personally and I experience it for ourselves, to see that goodness. You think of the goodness of the Lord in delivering his dear people. We think particularly of that wonderful deliverance at the Red Sea. They saw the goodness of the Lord, didn't they, Moses and the children of Israel? There was much to make them faint when they looked at the size of the hosts of the Egyptians and their ability in war. There was much to make them sink and faint as they looked at the sea before them. But what were they to do? They were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, his great goodness to them. And they saw the Lord work, didn't they? You know, the more we watch for the Lord's goodness and see his goodness, the more we shall see him work. And you look how he worked for them, dividing the sea, and how he worked for them, destroying all the hosts of the Egyptians. Stand still and see. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? The salvation of the Lord. Our text speaks of it again in a blessed way. Unless I had believed to see. And oh, to see the Lord's goodness. And then you think of Manoah and his wife, how they stood still to see the Lord wonderfully provide and to give them a man-child. They saw the goodness of the Lord. They looked on while the Lord worked wondrously. And some of us, you know, can look back, can't we, today and see the goodness of the Lord in the things of providence, in the vital things of grace. And then you think of the goodness of the Lord, what we read in the Psalm 31, didn't we, this afternoon? What does the dear psalmist David say there? How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. How great is thy goodness. You know, it was past all being measured. They could never measure the goodness of God. It was so great. How great is thy goodness. And one's concern is with this text today is that we may not just look back and see that goodness, but see the goodness of the Lord going before us. The dear hymn writer, if I remember rightly, spoke of it beautifully in the hymn when he speaks of the goodness of God. He says this in 498, he says, 'Tis sovereign mercy finds us food, and we are clothed with love, while grace stands pointing out the road that leads our souls above. And then listen, his goodness runs an endless round. All glory to the Lord. His mercy never knows a bound. And be his name adored. His goodness. And it may be today that you have much to make you to faint, but oh, to view the goodness of the Lord. You know, when our eyes are directed away from all the things that make us faint, and we view the goodness of the Lord, we can soon forget all that makes us faint. It's like a little child, you know. One way of teaching a child is not just saying, well, they can't do this or can't do that. It's directing their little minds away from what they're doing, if it's something wrong, to what is right. Attracting them away, drawing them away from it. And you think of that spiritually. This is what the Lord is setting before us in this text. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It was just as though the Lord was drawing him away from the things that were causing him to faint, to view the great goodness of his God. And I do feel laid upon me that this is the message, you see, from heaven, that we might be drawn away. You think of the sorrows there are in this earth, the many terrible things that are taking place in many nations. But may the Lord draw us away from all the things of time, that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above and to view the goodness of God. And you think of the goodness of the Lord Jesus in coming into this earth. How good he was. We read in Psalm 145, didn't we? How good the Lord is to his people. His goodness. Over the top of the Bible here it says, his great goodness. Over the top of Psalm 145. His great goodness. And the psalmist could look back and see it, couldn't he? But you think of the goodness of the God the Father in giving his beloved Son, and the goodness of the precious Son of God in coming into this earth. And you look how he went about doing good, showing sinners his goodness, showing them his mercy, showing them his compassion. We think of the 5,000 when the disciples wanted to send them away. It was the evening hour. And what did the Saviour do? He manifested his goodness to them and fed them, that they did not go away hungry. His goodness. And I thought, as we sat here during the services on Thursday, the great goodness of the Lord in bringing his servant with that message. They that sow in tears, it's a good word, you know, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, when the husbandman sows his seed, why does he sow it? In sweet anticipation of a harvest. That's why he sows it. Looking to the Lord in his goodness to give a harvest. And as we sow at the throne of grace, or try and in our poor preaching sow the word, may the Lord's goodness be manifested in it. But you think of the, and what I want to come to with this goodness, is to see the Lord of life and glory at Calvary and in the Garden of Gethsemane. You think how good, and I speak it with much reverence, the dear Saviour was in coming into this earth, but how good he was in suffering for sinners. To see the goodness of the Lord. Christ to be offered in the room, place and stead of sinners. And you see the goodness of the Lord in all his agonies that he endured the wrath of God for sinners. He bore all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, it's a good place to feed, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane upon the cross. To see the goodness of the Lord. And then how on Calvary's tree he laid down that precious life that sinners might be eternally saved. His goodness. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. You think of the centurion. There as he viewed the dear Redeemer on Calvary's tree. Surely this is a righteous man. The dying thief knew the great goodness of the Lord, didn't he? In that last moments of his life, he saw it. As he looks at the dear Redeemer, and I often think they're beautiful words, you know. He looks at Christ when he'd spoken to the other of the terrible state they were in. And what does he say concerning the Lord Jesus? But this man hath done nothing amiss. He saw the goodness of God in the dear Redeemer. Oh, he did. His great goodness. That God had sent his beloved Son to suffer, bleed and die for him and to give him heaven. Well could he say, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me, remember me. Is that your prayer this afternoon? Remember me. Don't leave me out, Lord. Put me among thy people. Assure me heaven is my portion. that it will be well. And then look at the blessed day of the resurrection. Oh, you see the goodness of the Lord. You know, those dear sorrowing disciples, those dear sorrowing women, they were to see the goodness of the Lord in a precious Christ rising on that resurrection morn. Gladness was to crown the day. You know, when the Lord says to his dear children, look up and see the goodness of the Lord, who is it said to? It's those that are looking down. It's them that need to look up. And you see, David would have fainted, and did on occasions, because he was looking down all the time. But you think, when the Lord says, look up, who does he say it to? He doesn't say it to a person that's already looking up, does he? He says it to those that are looking down, that are fainting. Look up. Dying sinner, look and live. And think of that wonderful provision that was given by the Lord to Moses when the children of Israel were serpent bitten in the wilderness. And he told Moses to make a serpent of brass and to set it upon a pole. And who was it that needed it? Those serpent-bitten souls that were dying sinners, and all that were to look would be saved. I cannot get away from this, to see the goodness of the Lord, to see it. Not to presume or think we have, or because others have said it, to see it for ourselves. And just to step back to Calvary. Oh, to see, like the hymn writer did, I saw one hanging on a tree in garments dyed in blood. Do you know what it is to have a glimpse? Well, let me come low. Do we desire to have a glimpse? To see him? You know, that desire of those Greeks of old, when they came to Philip, is a beautiful desire. I often pray for it in prayer. And what was it? Sir, we would see Jesus. And they wanted to see him because all the goodness they needed for time and for eternity, for their lives and for their souls, was found in the dear Redeemer. It pleased the Father, the Apostle said, that in him should all fullness dwell. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. You see, faith has a single eye. It will ever look to Jesus. Singleness of eye is vital. It looks right on. It looks to Christ. It's a solemn thing, like the hymn writer said, where a double eye was in the child. One eye looking to the world, looking to sin, looking to wickedness, the other looking to Christ. He can never be. Singleness of eye. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. But then, oh, the goodness that flows through the precious blood of Jesus. Where would you or I be if he had not shed that precious blood? There'd be no hope for us. And that precious blood, who needs it? Black, vile, dying sinners, those that feel the guilt, feel the sin, know the weight and burden in measure of it. You know, we shall never know the full weight and full measure. We wouldn't be able to bear it. I remember one of the old servants of God saying, you know, if the Lord were to lay on you his wrath because of sin, then the fullness of it, you'd never bear it. But oh, what a mercy it is. We have a good Saviour. And I speak that reverently. A good Redeemer who manifested his goodness in shedding that precious blood for sinners. And there's the sinner's hope. Oh, to know, as the dying thief desired, you think of the goodness of the Lord in providing a precious fountain for sinners. It's a wonderful word, that is, isn't it? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. Can you say, and can I, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. To see the goodness of the Lord. And oh, as you have a glimpse of it, he's prepared that precious fountain for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The house of David is God's elect children. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. There is that fountain. And how does the soul rejoice over it? Because they need that fountain continually. And oh, they rejoice the Lord has ever provided in his goodness such a fountain that's open for sin. It wasn't closed, you know. It's closed to the wicked. It's closed to them that never know the Lord. But it's open to them that long for Christ and long for that washing and long for that precious blood to be applied. It's open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they need to be plunged in it. Oh, what a mercy it is. The Holy Spirit sweetly takes the soul and washes them in that precious blood. Oh, to be led by the Spirit down to the washing. The hymn writer said, and put me in with thy own hands, and that will do me good. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But then, oh, one's concern is from this hour we might have the goodness of the Lord going before us. You go to Exodus 33. What did the Lord say to Moses? Beautiful word. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And when the Lord makes his goodness pass before his dear people, they want to keep that goodness in view. Oh, they will. His goodness. And it was to pass before Moses. You know, Moses was so troubled, wasn't he? The way was difficult, the people were stiff-necked and rebellious. How could he lead them? And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. The hymn writer said, pass before thee in the way. And it's my soul's desire that we might sweetly experience this, the remainder of our journey here below. There's the looking back. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's followed us thus far, isn't he? But oh, what about the future? I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And the Lord will. And he'll give you that faith to believe that he will. He says, unless I had believed. And faith will believe what the Lord said, you know, the Lord will ever bring to fruition. In his time, in his way. Because no word of the Lord can ever return void. But will accomplish that which he please. And prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. And you look in the life of Moses, the Lord prospered him in the thing whereto he sent it. It was particularly for Moses, and the Lord was to fulfill it. May he fulfill it in your poor heart and mine. You may be concerned at the things of providence, the future, and you look at them and you faint. And we're soon fainting, as I looked at this morning. But he directs the sinner to that goodness that was to go before them. And all the time we can keep that goodness in view, that has followed us, we shall be able to endure. We shall be able to press on. The hymn writer said, always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. There are two things I just want to look at. One is this. As he causes that goodness to pass before us, what does Jesus say to the dear sorrowing disciples in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And what was the Saviour saying to them? That his goodness would pass before them, and he would enter right into heaven, and they would follow. He'd gone to prepare a place. And you know, there is a prepared place in heaven for every one of the Lord's dear children. And I'll go as far as to say this, heaven will not be complete without them. They all have a place, and he's prepared it for them. And nobody else will be able to take it. He's prepared for them. What a sweet prospect. And you can see the goodness of the Saviour in saying that to these dear disciples. You think of a poor, tempted Peter. But there's a place prepared for thee in glory. Christ didn't agree with his sin. But he loved Peter, and he washed him from all that sin and prepared him for heaven at last. That is the first thing. The second thing is in our text. It says where he would see the goodness of the Lord. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. This can be looked at in a few ways. First of all, it will be seen among the living family of God in the earth. There see his goodness. You read some of the sweet experiences of some of those old saints that are now in glory, that have gone before. And you look how the Lord wonderfully favoured them while they were here with his goodness. And they were among the living. Those living children of God that God had quickened. What does the wise man say? A living dog is better than a dead lion. For he that is joined to the living, there is hope. And you know, it would be a great concern and exercise, and may it be to our young people, all of them, to be found among the living. May we never be left to be among the dead. You know, when Christ worked in the heart of Legion, the mad Gadarene, he brought him out from the dead and put him among the living. Oh, he did. In his solemn state serving Satan, he lived among the dead. And what a solemn thing if we go all the way through life among the dead. I don't mean those dead literally, I mean spiritually, dead to the things of God. But he doesn't speak of the dead here, he speaks of the living. The land of the living. Ruth wanted to be among the living family of God. She said, "Thy God shall be my God, and thy people shall be my people." But really what this is set before us was the children of Israel going through the wilderness. There was a blessed land before them. It speaks of heaven. The land of the living. Those living souls are joining today in that everlasting song. And you see, to see the goodness of the Lord in heaven, to have a little view of it, the land of the living. Of course, as they went through the wilderness, the land of the living was the land of Canaan. It was God's promised land. And they were to live in it, and to be fed in it, and to see the goodness of the Lord in it. But look at it concerning the heavenly Canaan. What does the apostle say concerning heaven? Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath laid up for his dear people. We cannot begin in a natural way to ever view it, but faith will view it. Oh, it will. The fullness of the land. The goodness of the Lord. Eternal bliss forever. No more sin, no more sorrow. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? You think who to do it? Who was to wipe away? No man. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Heaven is that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles. Oh, that we might know the realities of this sacred text more and more. I had fainted unless I had believed to see, and may we have that faith to see it, the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living. Among his dear people while we're here. And then finally Canaan's happy land. And what a happy land it is. Well, I've only scratched around the surface of this word. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text to us. Amen.